we finish it up tonight with the subject titled, Earth, Young or Old, Facts versus Assumptions. Before I get into this sermon tonight, let me just say that for many years in throughout really throughout much of history, scientists, as science advanced, they began to teach us and to say that we all evolved, that evolution is how we got here, that we all began from molecules and began to split and divide and mutate and all of those things related to evolution. Well, in order to make the point of evolution, to make the point that over many millions of years evolution took place, they have to, and of course, to make an issue out of the age of the earth. That if man did evolve and it took millions or billions of years for all this evolution to occur, then it had to occur in an earth that was here for millions and billions of years. But what does the Bible tell us? And what is, you know, science says one thing, the Bible says another. If you're like me, you've often tried to reconcile those things, and there's different efforts to do that. And it's only natural that a Christian, we want to believe the Bible, we want to believe what God's Word says. And so it goes back to this theory or this idea, the earth is very old, it's billions, it's millions of years old. And when Sherry and I, for several years ago, we were in Carlsbad Cavern in New Mexico, and you're on that tour, and you're down underground, and so the tour guides are pointing out formations of rock and various things as part of that tour, and of course they're telling us that this particular rock and this event took place that created this cavern over a period of millions of years when the water was flowing, and this particular formation is believed to be close to 30 million years old, and this one's over here a billion years old, and they give you all that information because they're using scientific tools that I will point out tonight that are not real. They are false. They're full of assumptions. They're full of equations that are not verifiable, that cannot be factually proved. And so what we're going to look at tonight is that issue. It deals with science. So I want to warn you ahead of time, if you need to take a nap through this science part of this sermon, that's okay. Because I get it. I get it that some of what we're going to delve into gets a little bit deep into science. But I have to delve into the science a little bit in order to show its falsehood and to show the truth of what the Bible tells us. I will give you an example before I get too deep into the sermon that when I had looked at the Word of God and I looked at certain issues like Brother Andy Hunger's here tonight. It's so good to see Andy and Nancy and Irby. Andy is a petroleum engineer. Most of you are aware of that. Excuse me. Andy graduated from a great school, the University of Texas in Austin, with a degree in petroleum engineering. Part of his teaching that he received at that school is not at all different than teaching that we received in high school or college regarding formation of petroleum. Petroleum is formed by the planta and the certain things that decay, and over many, many years that decayed material under heat and pressure becomes oil, becomes petroleum. And so that took many, many millions of years, according to scientists, for that to form. So when you hear that and you see that from a science and a factual perspective, many Christians will look at the Bible and they'll say, well, the earth surely must have been in place for millions or billions of years before God created it in the form that we know it today. How many of you have ever heard that or maybe even made that assumption on your own as you look at it? You read the Bible and you read Genesis and you read the account of creation and you try to say, well, I think maybe what God didn't say but maybe what was there was that the earth had been there in some form for millions of years and then he took it and made it as we know it today. So that's why when people say this rock is millions of years old, that's why they say that, because and it's not inconsistent with the Bible. I'm going to challenge that theory tonight. I'm going to challenge that straight on tonight, because the more I've studied and the more I've looked at things, the more I am convinced that creation happened exactly as the Bible tells us, that God made the earth and everything in it in 6 days. And that the earth is young. The earth is young. And let me give you one example before we get started into some of these details tonight, just to help us whet our appetites, what I'm going to share with you tonight. We made the example earlier that when God created Adam, the Bible says he formed him from the dust of the earth and he breathed life into it and he became a man in the image of God, correct? In the flesh. Now, when he created Adam, was Adam a little bitty baby? He was a grown, mature man, wasn't he? He was probably absolutely perfect in every way. I have no doubt he was. He was a man. He didn't create a child or didn't create a teenager. He created a man. So let's assume that that perfect body of that man would be similar to a man 24 to 28 years old. Okay? Kind of the prime of life, perfection. So when God created Adam, let's say he was in a body that would be similar to a 28-year-old man, just for the sake of discussion. When God created Adam, and the moment he was a man, how old was Adam? He was just a few minutes old, wasn't he? I mean, how old are you, Adam? I just breathed life into you. I'm just a few minutes old. If he was just a few minutes old, but when you looked at Adam, he was a fully mature adult male, wasn't he? So even though he was only a few minutes old, he was old in the sense he was a 28-year-old man at that point. We're using 28 years old just as an assumption. You understand what I'm saying? So he was new, but at the same time he was mature, or he was an older. He wasn't brand new in the form of a baby. Along that line, is it possible that when God created the earth, that he created the earth in the same way he created man? That he took it out of nothing and spoke it into existence. And when he spoke it into existence, it was brand new. It was only seconds old, just like Adam, but it had all of the characteristics of being aged. Everything about it that God had made, made it look as if it was an aged earth when it was only minutes old. If he could do that for Adam, could he not do that for the earth? We'll stay with that thought in just a minute. Evolutionists, of course, again, they claim that the molecules evolved and took millions of years. We talked about all the influences. When you go somewhere to a national park, National Geographic magazine, National Geographic TV, movies all made by the U.S. Department of Interior for our national park systems, they often consistently refer to the known age of the earth and the known age of the universe as being billions of years old, and they present it as if it is fact, rather than presenting it as theory. You listen, if you ever listen to it, they never say it's believed or the theory is. They present it just as if it is facts. Well, biblical creationists, who believe the creation account of the Bible, say that the earth is about 6,000 years old based upon the account in Genesis. From the time that man was created going forward through the history the Bible gives us, we know that from that point forward, it's been about 6,000 years. So please hear me tonight. A young earth, an earth that is 6,000 years old versus an earth that scientists claim is billions of years old is not at all a problem for the biblical creationists, because our God, the creator of the Bible, the creator of the universe, the creator of time, is able to create the earth in its present form instantly, and at the same time, it be a mature earth in the sense that it has the appearance of being completely mature, just as Adam had that same appearance when God created him. God does not need long ages of time to create things as something mature, such as plants and animals fully mature. He did it in a matter of only seconds, didn't he? He spoke it into existence. Adam was created on the sixth day of the week of creation, according to the book of Genesis. Since the mid-1940s, scientists have used a method of dating rocks and material known as C14 or radiocarbon dating. It's through the C14 process that scientists claim the earth and rocks and formations are millions or billions of years old. So what exactly is C14 dating? What is it exactly? This is where we dig into just a little bit of the science. Carbon-14 or C14 dating is also called radiocarbon dating. It's a method of age determination that depends on the decay of nitrogen into radiocarbon or C14. Carbon-14 is continually formed in nature by the interaction of neutrons and nitrogen-14 and in the Earth's atmosphere. And the neutrons are required for this reaction. They're produced by the cosmic rays of the sun interacting with the atmosphere. So radiocarbon present in molecules of atmospheric carbon dioxide, they enter the biological carbon cycle. Okay? I know this is getting deep and stuff, but it creates food that we eat, okay? So when we partake of plants and food, it comes to us because of this process that's grown the plants and the food that involves the C14. So C14 would be found in our bodies because of what we eat, because what's in the atmosphere, what's on the earth. Radiocarbon decays slowly in a living organism. And the amount that is lost is constantly replenished as the organism takes in air or food. Once that organism dies, it ceases to absorb carbon-14, so the amount of radiocarbon in its tissues begins to decrease steadily because it's not taking any more into it. Everybody got that? So, for example, if you took the bones of a skeleton of a person that died 1,000 years ago, if you took the bones of a skeleton versus the skeleton of a man that died 50 years ago, the amount of C14 in that older skeleton would be a lot less in those bones than the amount of C14 in the skeleton that's only 50 years old, because it's slowly depleting that object over time. There's a scientific term referred to as the half-life. The C14 has a half-life of 5,730 years plus or minus 40 years. It just represents the rate of decay of that element in rocks, in all the stuff that had the C14 coming into it when it was alive, plant, vegetation, all those things. So are you with me on that? You understand? So when we talk about dating using C14, part of what they're doing is identifying the residual amount of that information or that data or that stuff, so to speak, in the rocks or in the bones or whatever it is they're measuring. So suppose somebody were to be able to take one of Adam's bones. Think about this for a minute. Somebody were to take one of Adam's bones on the very day that God created him. And on that day, they sent his bones to a C14 laboratory to get dating done to see how old Adam is. Well, Adam had just been created by God. He hadn't eaten anything, hadn't taken anything of his body. So what would the laboratory, looking at his bones, how old would they say Adam's bones were? Well, they'd say they're millions of years old, because there's almost no, or there is absolutely no C14 left in these bones. Because there's none left in these bones, that means he's millions of years old. How old were his bones? They're brand new, weren't they? But do you see the fallacy already just in this process of dating? On the first day of creation, of course, Adam wouldn't have had anything coming into his body anyway to measure any C14. So they would have had a false date. By the way, the water canopy that we looked at in the beginning of the earth, remember it talked about the firmament, and there was water above the firmament and below the firmament. So there was a water canopy surrounding the earth before the flood that kept it a greenhouse warm from pole to pole, that created the growth of dinosaurs and all the things that aren't around today. Well, that water canopy, with its protection of the rays of the sun coming in, would have created much less C14. So for the first 1,600 years of creation, there's much less C14 because of that water canopy, and which would again create false identification of the age of rocks and plants and other items because of that. Again, we're using Adam's bones as just an example of what I'm talking about. The flood of Noah's time, that flood occurred approximately 4,500 years ago. The earth up to that point was roughly 1,600 years old. That gives us an age of the earth of just a little over 6,000 years. By using the C14 carbon dating methods to date anything older than 4,500 years would be influenced by the different atmosphere that was on the earth before the flood. As we pointed out, before the flood, it never rained on the earth. The flood came when the water canopy surrounding the earth broke, and the waters under the earth broke and came up, and both of those combined to flood the whole world. But because of that water canopy protecting rocks and plants and everything in the earth, then if you're dating anything prior to that, you're going to get a false reading because there's almost no C14 coming into those things, with much less C14, because of the protective canopy over the earth. So that's why, for example, there are published reports, scientific reports, of detectable amounts of C14 deposits in coal. Now, coal supposedly took hundreds of thousands of years to form in the earth. And if it's hundreds of thousands of years old, the C14 would be totally depleted. There wouldn't be any left. But yet they have found C14 in coal deposits, which means that that coal could only be a few thousand years old. You follow what I'm saying? It could be only a few thousand years old instead of millions of years old. Evolutionary scientists make major assumptions during this course of dating rocks to be millions of years old, but all of their assumptions and their formula for dating are completely invalid, and it is impossible to use a technique that will actually correctly date the age of a rock. The dating techniques work like this. First, you find a rock. You want to know how old it is. So you look at certain elements or compounds that break down over time into other elements or compounds. So in C14, we look for the amount of isotope of uranium, which decays into lead. So the isotope of uranium that decays into lead, so we look at our rock and we find some of this special uranium, radiocarbon or radioisotope, and some of the lead that it decays into. So there's a little bit of the radioisotope left, there's some of the lead that it has decayed into, and we can measure those things. We say, hey, we think we know how old this rock is. We measure how much lead is in the rock because we think we know how fast uranium will decay into lead. And the amount of lead in the rock would tell us how old it is. That's what the theory is. So for all of this to yield the answer that it's billions of years old, certain assumptions have to be made. Scientific assumptions, because there's no facts. They have to make assumptions. The first assumption is, it's assumed by the rock expert that the rock could not have initially contained any lead at all. Because if the rock contained any lead in the beginning, it'd be impossible to tell the age because there's lead that's there now. They're saying, well, there's never lead to begin with, but it's got lead now because of the breakdown of the radioisotopes in that rock. But the scientists can't prove that. There is no way they can say that those rocks or anything they measure didn't have some element of lead in it from the very beginning. So they make an assumption it had no lead in it, and the lead that's in it is only there by the breakdown of that radioisotope. That assumption alone is the beginning of their scientific formula to identify the age of a rock. But that assumption has got a major problem with it, because what if God put lead in that rock when he made it? They give no account for that. They refuse to acknowledge or even think that could be a possibility. So they claim, well, if they look at this rock and there's lead in it to begin with, and we're measuring how much lead is left, we know how old this rock is. You see the false assumptions that goes into making that claim that it's millions of years old. One variable in the rock dating question is the unknown amount of the lead originally in that rock. The second variable is the age of the rock. There's two variables. Did you hear that? One variable is, was there lead in it in the beginning? And the other variable is, we don't know how old the rock is. We're trying to get the answer. If you remember in math and science, it's impossible to solve an equation with two variables. You can solve an equation with one variable, but not with two. But scientists have embraced this false science in theory that with two variables, we don't know how much lead was originally in the rock, and we don't know how old the rock is. But even with two variables, because they refuse to acknowledge other facts or theories of things, that becomes their method of dating, and telling you how old things are, that's completely false. They absolutely cannot tell you the date or the age of that rock. Every time you hear a tour guide telling you this formation or that is millions of years old, they're only guessing because they've assumed there was no original lead or what scientists call the daughter element left in that rock from the parent element, the isotope. Do we take scientists' guesses as facts? The world does pretty much. The world takes it as facts. And people take that as fact rather than the ideal of the 24-hour creation in the Bible, the one-day creation that happened 6,000 years ago. There's another assumption scientists make. They make the assumption that there was nothing to contaminate that rock, that like it was in a closed system. So the process of radioisotopes decaying, creating lead in that rock, happened in a perfect universe in which there was no other contamination by temperature or elements or anything else. Does that sound realistic? Of course not. But in their carbon dating method, that is one of the false assumptions, that there's no contamination. There's also another assumption, the third false assumption, is the constant decay rate of the radioisotope into lead. They don't perceive that there could be a variable rate of decay, that certain atmospheric conditions on the earth could change that could create a rate of decay that's slower or faster than what they're trying to measure today. Again, that's a false assumption. It leads to false information. It means to false ideas about how old the earth is. But the false ideas of how old the earth is fits the false ideas of evolution. And that evolution occurred because it's been here millions and billions of years. So these three assumptions, think about it. No original lead in the rock, a closed system, and the same rate of decay are always involved. Those assumptions are always involved when a scientist tells you the date of a rock. Can you believe it? Absolutely not. There's no way to accurately date beyond several thousand years, which means that the earth can be exactly, according to the Bible has told us, it's just a little over 6,000 years old. Let me just share quickly some other evidence with you, and this won't be as deep into the science of the C-14 depletion and all that stuff, okay? Sherry says she's glad for that. The energy of stars. Stay with me for just a minute here. The energy of stars. Astronomers claim that certain types of stars may have surface temperatures of 90,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, this is more than 100,000 times the energy coming from our sun, by the way. Burning down at a specific rate that scientists believe they burned down and clocking backwards, the entire universe would have been filled with the mass of these stars just a few thousand years ago. The rate that stars are depleting their energy, using that rate that scientists have measured, if you took that measure and you counted backwards, then the universe would have been full of the mass of stars only a few thousand years ago, not billions of years ago. You follow? Another fact. Bristlecone pine trees. You ever heard of a bristlecone pine tree? The biblical flood account occurred, as we talked earlier, about 4,500 years ago, and it destroyed all dry land plant life. So we would not expect to find plants on the earth older than 4,500 years. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because everything died during the flood. Well, the bristlecone pine tree has been called the oldest living organism on the earth. And scientists date the bristlecone pine tree to be about 5,000 years old. About 5,000 years old. I would tell them it's about 4,500 years old because everything had died during the flood and everything began to grow after that. One scientist exclaims it's almost as if all the trees, these bristlecone pine trees, that they were all planted in virgin earth at the same time about 5,000 years ago, meaning the seeds of those trees that were in sediment after the flood began to grow. Another point looking at the young earth age is rivers. Rivers are young. In our own nation, the Mississippi Delta, the Mississippi River carries tons of eroded earth into the Gulf of Mexico every day every year, every month, for ages. Scientists have measured the growth of the Mississippi Delta for many years. And based on measuring that growth, the rate of the accumulation of all that data into the Mississippi Delta, they have reported that at the present rate of growth in the Delta, that at the present rate, that means that the Mississippi River would have accumulated that Delta in approximately 5,000 years. If the Earth has been here for millions of years, would there be some other evidence of that in the Mississippi River Delta? Of course there would. But it's only been accumulated about 5,000 years because that river in its flow and accumulation began to occur after the flood. Another example, the young Earth, the receding moon. Scientists have evidence that the moon is moving away from the Earth at the rate of about 2 inches a year. Have you ever read that or heard that? It's slowly moving away from the Earth at about the rate of 2 inches a year. Now, if the Earth and the moon were measured, in theory, 2 billion years ago, which scientists say that the universe existed 2 billion years ago, if they were measured 2 billion years ago, then the Earth and the moon at that point would have been touching one another, which is totally ridiculous because that never happened. And based upon the movement of 2 inches a year from the Earth, if the Earth were 5 billion years old, starting with them touching, moving 2 inches a year, and if the universe is 5 billion years old, which scientists claim is more than that, then the moon would be so far from the Earth that today that it would be completely out of sight. You follow me? They're taking the exact measurements that's happening today, moving away 2 inches a year, and they're saying, well, if you extrapolated that over billions of years, you wouldn't even be able to see the moon. It'd be completely out of sight. It's further evidence of how far scientists are off in their estimate of the age of the Earth. The Bible gives us this truth in Genesis 1 and 6. God made two great lights, according to the Word of God. Two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. He made them when He created it all, according to the book of Genesis. Another example, you remember hearing about moon rocks after the astronauts came back from the moon? Moon rocks. People trying to sell moon rocks. It's fake stuff. You remember that? Moon rocks. When NASA brought back the rocks from the moon, they dated and estimated in their public address, they estimated these rocks to be 3 to 4.5 billion years old. Billion with a B. Later, scientists continued to measure by different methods, and they came up with a new estimate. One scientific group came up with a new estimate of the age of these rocks and said they were just several thousand years old. But NASA refused to publish that particular scientific study because it didn't fit the evolution narrative that it's all been here for millions and billions of years. It was never published, but there's scientific evidence that they came to the conclusion that those moon rocks were just a few thousand years old. Another evidence of the young Earth is the magnetic field issue. You understand the Earth has a magnetic field. The reason we don't flop up into this outer space is because the magnetic field holds us to the ground. That's when something goes up, it has to go down. It's because of the magnetic field. The examination of the Earth's magnetic field suggests the Earth cannot be very old, since the Earth's magnetic field has been losing its strength consistently over the ages. Dr. Thomas Barnes completed a massive study that concluded that the age of the Earth, based upon the gradual loss of the magnetic field, that the age of the Earth is definitely less than 10,000 years old. Based upon the current magnetic field force that's in the Earth today, and the fact it's growing weaker, 10,000 years ago, the magnetic field would have been too strong to even support life. 10,000 years ago, the magnetic field would have been too strong to support life. But we have scientists telling us that the Earth is millions and billions of years old and that life evolved through all those years to become who we are today. But yet, based on the evidence of the decline of the magnetic field, it again is evidence supporting the young Earth theory rather than the Earth that's billions of years old. And finally, instant petroleum. I know Andy would say instant petroleum. Instant petroleum. Listen to this. Petroleum scientists tell us that millions of years ago, algae and plants lived in shallow seas, and after dying and sinking to the seafloor, the organic material mixed with other sediments was buried. And over millions of years, under high pressure and high temperature, the remains of these organisms transformed into what we know today as fossil fuel, as coal and oil and petroleum, and all those fossil fuels were formed under similar circumstances and situations. But scientists tell you that's how we got fossil fuels. However, a report in U.S. News and World Report in 1986 showed that MIT scientists found the action of hot vents under the surface of the Earth, the actions of super hot vents under the surface of the Earth was turning dead plankton into the sediment of petroleum in a matter of only a few months rather than millions of years. They actually showed this and found the example of it. So that tells me that this assumption that it took millions of years to create petroleum under the Earth is completely wrong, because under the crust of the Earth, everybody just understand it, under the crust of the Earth, there's massive amounts of heat. I mean, what causes a volcano to erupt? What causes the geyser, Old Faithful, to come up? It's all that massive heat under the surface of the Earth. Who's to say that when God created the Earth, that there weren't super hot vents all underneath the Earth everywhere? And all the plankton and algae and things that were there, he created it instantly in those super hot vents under the Earth were creating petroleum and coal and all that, just like that, rather than over the course of millions of years that petroleum engineers tell us that it must be the answer. Must be the answer. Hot vents. This was by an MIT scientist, by the way, that found these hot vents creating petroleum in a very short period of time. So in conclusion, why do scientists, why do they still cling to the old Earth theories when there is so much scientific evidence available that is contrary to those theories? We looked at just a handful tonight. The answer is that they don't want to submit to the humble ideal of God creating everything. God created everything. They don't want to acknowledge that we came here by the hand of God. They don't want to acknowledge that we're here because of our Creator. They refuse to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior because the Bible tells us He reveals Himself through His creation. In Romans 1, 18 through 22, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifested to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of this world, His invisible attributes, I love this word, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, were thankful, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That scripture, Jeremiah 10 and 12, for He has made the earth by His power. Did you hear that? God has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom, and He has stretched out the heavens at His direction. Everything in this universe, including this earth, happened by the hand and the Word of God. And I believe in the Bible that says it was all created, it was all done in 6 days.